meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Hi, Christina.
Hello, Father.
Nicholas,
welcome.
How are you? Okay, Ron? All right, good. Tony's on his way.
Yes.
I was hoping he'd be here on time because I wanted to ask him about yesterday's show with Father Tom Coys.
Okay.
Because I want to address, I want to go back to the feast we celebrated yesterday, the Feast of the Assumption.
Yes.
And then also, I saw a note that he was going to speak about that. Of course, that was yesterday was a feast day.
Sure.
We spoke about it on
Tuesday.
On Tuesday as well. You're going to have to bear with me. I'll tell you, I got up at 3:30 this morning and my sinuses. My sinuses, so I'm, you can see it in the air, you know, there's just something
the
in the air.
The air's heavy, and it's been raining, it's humid,
yeah.
it's heavy.
Well, I tell you, it's just, I'm drained because I've been fighting this all day. But anyway, so when Tony gets here, we can,
ask
at least if he's listening on the way, he should be listening to us on the way. He should be thinking about what the show, because he was here yesterday,
he
right?
He was here. Yeah. Was he? I don't remember now.
Anyway, but so we dealt with this beautiful Feast of the Assumption, and yesterday, I had both the masses, the vigil mass, and the which was quiet because we didn't have the choir, but I chanted the parts of the mass. And since my voice has really improved a lot over the last 6 months, and right, you're supposed to say, you really.
No, I'm not going to say
you're
it's
laughing,
improved.
You know?
No, I'm saying it's fine. No.
Yeah.
It's fine the way it was.
No,
I'm not saying
joking.
That it's improving.
I need this affirmation, you know. You got to build me up, right? No, because it
yes, you sounded like Josh Groban or
yeah,
Andre
exactly.
Bocelli.
Well, thank you. Yeah, maybe not quite as good as that, but I love the fact that I do it. Because for years I was afraid to sing, because I felt like I had this horrible.
And it's not easy to chant without music, without an instrument.
Right.
It's not, and yeah. A lot of, there's many singers that they won't take the chance to just chant without having an instrument, because the instrument gives you the key.
Oh, and also you need a microphone, you know, like some of these people, like Lisa, you know, and she can sing without the microphone, and her voice is absolutely beautiful.
She has a beautiful voice.
You have a
yeah.
beautiful voice as well.
Thank you. But she's trained. I'm not.
Well, I wouldn't.
I didn't go to school for.
Well, you didn't go to school,
but
you've got a gift, you know.
Thank you.
And I'm suspecting you're going to say that I have a gift as well, but
we're all gifted.
No, I'm joking. I'm tongue in cheek.
You're sounding
you know?
Like tongue in cheek. Yeah.
Yeah, because. Because I just find that more and more, I guess because we're celebrating Ad Orientem, we're facing the East, and I'm more conscious of the fact that my entire prayer is directed
to the Father
in Christ, through Christ to the Father. And so even to chant the preface or certain parts of the Mass, it's... It makes a difference.
Even
don't
like,
you think so?
Yes, I do, Father. And then when people say, "Oh, not our people, because we love it," but like anyone else outside who would say, "Oh, the priest has the back turned to the people," you don't say that when, let's say, somebody's leading a group and you're walking They right. don't say he had his back. He's leading. You are leading the people in the worship, the proper worship and towards right. the Father.
Yeah, and people intuitively get that when they participate mm-hmm. in the Mass, because I've, again, it's been overwhelming. The response has been overwhelmingly positive. But even, you know, the fact that the Sacred Assembly and those are the people gathered for worship, their backs are to each other.
Yeah, so I'm not going to be offended
you know, but,
by somebody that's sitting in front of me, or right. they have their back to that. You don't say that. Yeah,
but,
you're right.
But see, when I, as I celebrate the Mass, I'm very conscious of, now more than ever, very conscious that this prayer is directed to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's a, we always say every prayer is a prayer that's prayed in and through Jesus to the Father by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. So every prayer is Trinitarian
mm-hmm.
because it's one God, three persons in one God. But that this is directed to the Father. You just listen to the beautiful Eucharistic prayers, mm-hmm. all of them. And it's the emphasis. I mean, it's all directed to the Father. I think the only prayer that is directly that is directed in a direct way, in a very specific way, to the Son is, what prayer do you think? Can you think right off mind? It's the peace prayer. You know, right before the sign of peace.
Oh, that's right. Peace right? I give you, peace I leave with
you. Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. I don't have
because he was referring to the
I don't have
disciples.
The text.
Because even like the Our Father, even Jesus, in sacred scripture, well, he taught us the Our Father. The title, Our Father.
Our
it's
Father.
All directed to yeah. the Father.
And Jesus, in his life, he's always pointing to the Father.
Father.
That's why
yes.
we call his messianic identity is hidden,
mm-hmm.
except that the demons know who he is in Scripture. But it's only toward the end of the journey, as he's approaching the holy city, that his identity, his messianic mm-hmm. identity is revealed. In fact, we had that
sure.
gospel reading last week, but it was as he began that final journey
okay.
when he took the apostles to Caesarea Philippi,
yeah.
to the northern part of Israel. And it was there that he said, "Who do people say that I am?"
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "Well, John the Baptist, you know, come back, or Elijah, one of the great prophets. Who do you?" But he says, "Okay, but that's who they say. But who do you say that I am?
Mm-hmm.
You've been with me for 3 years now. Who do you say that I am?" And that's when Simon said, "You are the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You are the Son of the Living God." And so the messianic identity is revealed, but by the authority of the Father. So Jesus said, "It's no near man that has revealed this to you, mm-hmm. but my Father in heaven." And so that's really, and he's preparing this final journey for the last time to the holy city, to Jerusalem, where the cross mm-hmm. awaits him.
Yeah.
And it's there that he's going to offer his life in atonement for sin. So it's...
And even as a child, the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Joseph knew, well, of course, it was revealed to them. And it makes me think back.
Take Tony's microphone.
It makes me think, oh, this sounds better. When he was lost in the temple,
right.
and she said, "Son, why have you done this to us? Don't you know that I must be about my
right.
father's work?" But they knew.
Right.
They knew about it. But even as a child,
it's a mystery.
It's a mystery
that's unfolding.
At what point did he...
Exactly.
I think slowly, I guess, he was, as he grew in knowledge...
Well, you know, it's like, I'm going to compare myself to Jesus. Can I do that?
Sure.
Okay. And actually, we should be able to do this
yeah.
because the goal of the Christian life is that Jesus reproduces life
mm-hmm.
in us. That's why he gives us his body, his blood, his soul, and divinity. We're in the Eucharistic discourse
mm-hmm.
right now these weeks. For like 4 weeks, we've already been three. We got another 2 weeks, or this is a third. I think we have four weeks where we just unpack
mm-hmm.
the Gospel of John, the Eucharistic discourse, where he's speaking about the mystery of this gift that he's going to leave, which is his life for the world, you know, that we would eat his body and drink his
mm-hmm.
blood. But and what was the point that I was going to make?
You were saying about you're going to compare.
I was gonna, yeah, so,
yeah.
So you know, somebody asked me yesterday, okay, I'd sure. gone to this, the Blessing of a restaurant, and mm-hmm. it was very nice. I had mole, picante, very picante, very delicious, but very muy picante, very hot.
Very hot,
and my
spicy,
face was just yeah. red, burning.
And then with the heat, yeah.
Yeah. But the so some the gentleman asked me what motivated me, what brought me to the priesthood, and mm-hmm. I said, you know, it was always there. I always knew it. That's mm-hmm. As early as I remember, I wanted to be a priest. It was just kind of there. Mm-hmm. And when I got into high school, you know, of course it went away because I had my eyes set on being a pilot. I wanted to go into aviation, and I mentioned that the other day. And then after I finished high school and went to college, you know, it came back in full mm-hmm. force, but I had to wrestle with that. But the point was, it was just you come to so in making this comparison, Jesus is God. You know, I'm not God, but he was even as he went, because after they found him in the temple, and as you said, the Blessed Virgin Mary said, "Why have you done this to us? You know, we've been looking for you for 3 days." He's 12 years old. And as you said, he said, "Well, did you not know that I must be about the work of my Father?" And so he's growing into mm-hmm. the mission mm-hmm. that was entrusted to him by the Father, that he would atone for the sins of the people. And even, can we say, his understanding of who he was. Mm. And I mean, maybe I'm... walking on thin ice when mm-hmm. I say that, but that remains a mystery. But mm-hmm. you know, the gospel says he went back to Nazareth, and he grew mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. stature, in wisdom, in knowledge, before God and before men, before the Father and before men. So, you know, the blessed, you know, speaking of Jesus as a baby, mm-hmm. you know, he had to be. He was growing, you know. He had to be taught. Mm-hmm. You know, he had to. His life had to be nurtured. He had to be. You know, he didn't blink. You know, it wasn't like bewitched. You know,
sure. It was just. It's a process.
Right.
I even think sometimes I meditate. How did they feel, the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph? Saint Joseph, both were humble, very humble,
right.
And they must have thought many times, what can we teach? He's God. He's the Son of God.
Right.
Yet we're doing the will of the Father. Again, the will of the Father.
But I think the mere fact that he was vulnerable, a baby in the arms of his mother,
on them. Yeah.
It was kind of intuitively, you do what a mother does, right?
Of course.
But the mystery of her destination,
yes.
his destination, the full ramification mm-hmm. of his identity— was something that she had to ponder, because it says that often
sure,
in Scripture she ponders in her heart.
And not much is said about Saint Joseph.
Very little.
But he was a carpenter, so he taught him the trade,
right?
The carpentry and all that.
Yeah,
it's just it is a mystery.
It's a mystery. It's a beautiful mystery,
yes.
You know. And it's having said that, what do I?
You're saying about the Virgin Mary with the pondering.
Well, pondering, but what I wanted to speak about today is go back to the Assumption, mm-hmm. the feast. We had the, because yes, it was a beautiful Mass yesterday.
It was.
Very beautiful. The night Masses are so
That's
nice.
That's what I was just going to say. Those night Masses are just so mystical.
Absolutely. The choir was beautiful. We had all the mm-hmm. servers there. And
beautiful.
It just seemed like, you know, in a sense, and this is why I wanted to speak a little bit about this today, or find out from Tony what... Mm-hmm. Father Coy's said yesterday, because we're up against another. It's just a deepening of the understanding of the scandal, the deviation mm-hmm. on the part of priests and bishops who covered up the atrocities mm-hmm. that were done, and it's just devastating. It's absolutely devastating, and. What really baffles my mind is the volume, the number of priests, because so there was this report that was released the other day, and I think Father Coy spoke about that. But over the course of 70 years, 300 priests in Pennsylvania had, in different ways, had violated their consecration, had abused young people, children, adults, whatever, you know. But some of the stuff that was exposed is, I'm not going to repeat it on the radio because it is completely, totally evil, demonic, diabolical, and criminal. And the fact that, first of all, the fact that it even happened, the fact that, you know, if it were just one, it would be shocking. And it has been, you know, and we've been, you know, inundated with this for already
years,
you know. But for this to come out again, you know, with the full report from just
one state.
How many dioceses? I think 6 different dioceses.
And that's just, and like you said, one state.
In one state, yeah.
How about the whole nation or the whole world?
Yeah, but it brings me back to the message of Our Lady in La Salette in Fatima. It takes me back to the Old Testament as well, because one thing that I think we all have to understand is that there is nothing new under the sun, and part of the chastisement that happened not once but often in the sojourn or the journey of the Israelites was a result of, well, certainly infidelity to God. They abandon the covenant. They abandon the commandments, and they do all kinds of abominations in the temple, orgies and the like in the temple. And so to understand that, you know, you can't understand it.
No.
I guess we have to understand what's at the root of this. It kind of goes back to what we were talking about yesterday. Or the other day, that it's, and that's what I want to, we'll take a break and we'll come back to the assumption and the reading, the gospel reading yesterday at the Mass. And then I want it, when Tony comes, I want to hear a little bit of what maybe Father Coy's might have said, and just give some of my own observations or my own reflection or some of my own opinion as to what might be happening. And it's a good that it's being exposed. It's devastating. And if, you know, thousands of victims, but really even apart from those who were victimized in a very direct way, children, young people, it's when you think of the damage that has done to the faith of countless people, and if anything, it forces us to put our faith in perspective, to deepen that faith, and to turn our attention to Christ and to the Blessed Virgin, to the whole mystical body, to step away in a sense without leaving the institution that was not acting under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that would be bishops and the priests who are the shepherds, pastors, who have entrusted to them the care of the souls of the faithful, right? Yeah. And their own salvation as well.
Yes.
And none of us are, you know, I say, you know, we all approach God as sinners. And Mother Teresa would say that to her sisters, you know, that when you go to confession, you go to the confessional sinners with sin. When you leave the confessional, you're sinners without sin. But this stuff that's been exposed, that has happened, is just it's
horrific.
It's evil. Yeah. It's evil. And sick. It's sick. Mm-hmm. It's very sick. So we'll take a break, come back, and try to put some of this in perspective, if we can even do that. And I think when I say that, it's because and this is what I want to talk about as well, what have we failed to do that would have been or could have been a safeguard against this, these kinds of deviations, any kind of deviation from the sacred gift that has been given to us, and for a purpose, but to be given to others, to be shared with others. And that the church, I said yesterday in the homily, and I'll mention it again, I suspect, that the churches better be open to the purging power of God's Spirit, a chastising power, the chastisement of God in this time. Now, to say that will send up red flags on the part of many, but I'll tell you, that's a biblical fact. That's a biblical truth, and the church has always believed and taught that. And the fact that we've kind of relegated that kind of thinking out of our minds is terribly dangerous, I think.
And even God does not, He loves us, He's merciful, He doesn't spoil us. Even in sacred scripture, doesn't He talk about the parents who don't discipline their
children? Absolutely, absolutely. And see, that's the point I wanted to make about the Hebrews, the Jewish, the Hebrew people, the Israelites, is that in absolutely God chastised them.
He does.
In order, because they were the people of the covenant. Yeah. They were His own people, and the Messiah was to come from this people. And so he had to bring them down that narrow path. And so it is with the church as well. We are the people chosen, set apart, not to be better than, to be better. We better be better, but not to be superior to.
But set an example
in humility to be about the work of the Lord, or to allow Jesus to live in us and through us. So we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll try to unpack that. Okay.
Yes.
Don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
This is a prayer request from Winds of Change. We are asking for prayers for our St. Stan's parishioner, Juan Martinez's mother, Maria del Rosario Hernandez, who was just diagnosed with brain cancer. We truly believe in the power of prayer. Let us unite in prayer for her and for the entire family as they begin a challenging journey. Thank you. Cruise on over to St. Stan's August Fun Fest, Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. Bring your family, bring your friends for great ethnic foods, children's games, prizes, inflatables, music, raffles, and a dump tank. The proceeds will go to benefit St. Stan's Parish and School. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest is easy to find. Just one block north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy Expressway. Join the fun Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the Sacrament of Reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and His gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us, and welcome, Antonio.
Father.
Antonio.
Hey. I'm sorry, again, I was saying I feel for you. I get the same thing going now with my sinuses and
things. But you look out and you can just see it in the sky, can't you? There's just something that's ugly in the
See, I think for
air.
Me, too, I mean,
what?
They vacuum at work, and this starts
Stirs
up there because,
up, yeah.
yeah, the bad,
sure.
They just don't have a right vacuum cleaner. The dust keeps coming up, and I notice.
Oh, yeah.
It just goes in, and it's just sitting in the back of my, you know, behind my eyes.
I'm so sorry, but misery loves company, so I'm...
But yeah, Father, again, I was telling Christina, Father Coy's, and Nick is going to understand this, and maybe some of you out there would probably listen if you listen to comics. I consider this show, this is Winds of Change Prime. This is the first show. So Father Coy's is in tune, just like you are,
sure,
with what's going on. And he was pretty much talking about the same thing. He gave the beautiful account of Our Lady's Assumption, the way he said it. And I'm not sure where he got the, because I always, that's something I always thought of too. Like, how did that happen? What's the story? I know it's not in the Bible, but it had to be somewhere where they give the account, and it was beautiful. And he did touch on the scandals.
What did he say? I'm curious.
You know what? And that's where I had another Father Tony moment, which I would like to say. I sat there, and I thought, I was trying to formulate those thoughts, but I, like you, have heard certain things from different areas, so I don't know exactly what he said. But I think he was talking about all the, you know, all the priests that, you know, got caught up in this, and how it's, I forget, I'm thinking, I've heard it from different people and I've been listening to different things. So it's like, I don't know where the actual,
you're going to have just a lot of things going on.
Right. But yeah, he's just basically talking about it.
So I want to, it's right, you were working, but Angelica was at Mass yesterday, right. So your wife.
And that's another thing too. And I was contemplating when I was listening on the radio, I'm thinking, well, did I hear, because I went to Mass earlier.
Sure.
Somewhere else. And I don't know if the priest was actually talking about it there too, but just what's going on, you know.
Well, I go back to the and actually the reading today is very powerful. I was praying this morning and trying to wrap my head around this. What bothers me is the whole thing bothers me, but it's the volume, the number is astounding, and it's a systemic. Like systemic evil, systemic sickness.
And the thing, too, now that I'm thinking about it, I think I've heard non-Catholics talking about this. And, you know, when you think of the numbers, and I say to myself, and I think maybe we've had a conversation like this, whether it's on the air or not, priests are just men. I mean, they're human beings. So you're always going to have a system where, and you said this more than once, and I've come to understand this too, God gives the grace, gives you priests the grace to do these things. But again, yes, you're still a man. So the fact that, you know,
it doesn't justify it. Because it's like anything, you know, you're a married man, you're a husband.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You have taken a vow of fidelity to your wife, and in safeguarding the sanctity of your marriage, you're serving the people of God.
Right.
And the priest is set apart, consecrated to God. He's a mere man, but if God has called us, he's given us the grace. But we have to cooperate.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We have to be astute, attentive. We have to live a life of asceticism, which means we've got to detach from a lot of good things in order to safeguard and preserve our relationship with Christ, so that it's Jesus who is living in us and through us. Because we say the priest is, there's only one priest, the supreme high priest is Jesus Christ. And so he lives that, his priesthood is being lived in and through the man. I've said this before on the radio, and God is not stupid, but I said if God could be accused of any kind of stupidity, it is that he chooses to work through mere men, human beings, men, women, and you know, through us. But that's also the great beauty of God, the great wonder of God, that he understands and shares his life with us. He sees the potential. But Jesus said, you know, he said, I remind everybody, he had 12 apostles. He chose. He spent all night praying for the 12, who he would choose from among others to be the pillars of the church. And of the 12, one of them sold him out, Judas Iscariot. So, and Jesus said, this is right out of his own mouth, from his own lips, he said, you're not going to avoid scandal. You're not going to avoid scandal. It's always going to be there. He said after the institution of the Holy Eucharist, how he spoke to the disciples, to the apostles, about the need to safeguard unity, to understand that this is a very difficult path you're going to go down. You're going to be hated. You're going to be persecuted. The devil wants to sift you all like wheat. Mm-hmm. I mean, what did he say to Peter? Mm-hmm. When you think about this, he says, Peter, he says, I pray for you, mm-hmm. you, in the singular, I pray for you that you strengthen your brothers, because you need to know that Satan means to sift you all like wheat. Strike the shepherd, the sheep scatter. Mm-hmm. Right? We got to keep this thing. We got to keep this in perspective. Now, and that's just as we were saying the other day. That is not by no means am I saying we got to just push it aside because we put the blame on Satan. No, we have to take responsibility for our lives, our actions, mm-hmm. and we will be as priests most severely judged at the end of all things. Mm-hmm. At the end of time, at the end of our lives, for what we did or didn't do, mm-hmm. how we, you know, and you know, priests are, you said, you mere men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're flawed. I mean, my gosh,
like everybody.
Before you take the speck right. out of your brother's eye, take the plank out of your own. I've got all kinds of defects. But
that's why, Father, we have to, like the lady, we have to pray for our priests. Prayers. Yeah. That's our responsibility as to pray for all of you.
You're absolutely right. And we, just as much as we have to pray for you, we have to pray for each other.
Yeah.
But to lose that sensitivity
mm-hmm.
to who we are, what we who we represent, and we represent, we're living this consecration in Christ and in the church. We were just talking before mm-hmm. he came about celebrating the Mass, and it's this prayer in Jesus directed mm-hmm. to the Father. And so it's Jesus, the high priest, who's celebrating the Mass in the person of the priest,
mm-hmm.
Who is in persona Christi, so he's in the person of Christ, but also in the person of the church, and as a representative of the church leading the people of God. But to lose the sensitivity to who we are, and what we do, and for whom, and to allow ourselves to fall into this, the atrocities. I just can't make myself say, I heard it said on the radio today, mm-hmm. actually I had read it,
wow.
but I heard the radio gave a very vivid
description
of you know, one of these abuses, which involved four priests.
Oh, wow.
Together with one
person?
Young person.
Oh, my God.
And if that's not demonic,
wow.
but demonic not in the sense that, you know, it's the devil's fault, the devil made me do it, but that they obviously had to have completely removed themselves from God's grace and from their identity as men consecrated mm-hmm. to the Lord. They were wolves in sheep clothing, but not even in sheep clothing, because I mean it was so evil. But let me and we'll come back to that, because I have, as I say, some I'm trying, because we're talking about, now in Pennsylvania, this is over the period of 70 years, so 300, I can't wrap my head around that.
Yeah.
I can't. It's too...
I think a lot of things, too, and this is why I hesitate to even talk about this, or I listen to this, but I, you know, people, you can get accused of something, and that's all it is an accusation, and believe it or not, a lot of times the accusation is worse sometimes than the actual thing, especially if it's not true. So, you know, when I think they group things together like that, it may be accusations. And then I think of something like this. What is the management about that it gets passed down and passed down? I know there's a sense of, okay, everyone makes a mistake, but where does it go to, like you're saying, the lack of grace then? It's something where it's a sickness.
So it's one thing to make a mistake. It's one thing to fall into sin. It's one thing to violate, you know, your vow of chastity or celibacy.
Right.
You know, that happens, really. But to put yourself or to become part of this, call it a network, you know, whatever mm-hmm. it might be,
no.
and the cover-up that went into it,
oh,
that is...
That's evil.
That's a different kind of reality, yeah. I think, a different kind of evil. But let me... Nick, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and I want to go to the... actually, two readings, one yesterday at the Feast of the Assumption, just to kind of, from a biblical scriptural point of view, to kind of put things in perspective. And the other thing is a reading today, which, and I thought I was praying in the chapel, and I'm really bothered by this because you know, who wants to be identified with this kind of stuff, you know? And is there anything worse to be identified with?
Yeah. And it's not fair to the priests that are really living out right. there, being faithful to God and to their vocation and to the church.
I go back to the Hebrew scriptures, mm-hmm. to the Old Testament, when Habakkuk, the prophet, was pleading before God, do not bring chastisement on these people, because even though many have gone astray, yeah. there are those who are faithful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And God, he said, you know, I'm conscious yeah. of those who are faithful, those who are keeping mm-hmm. faith. But the chastisement, the destruction has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got to be brought to their knees
yeah.
so that I can rebuild this people.
Yeah.
And I keep in mind those who are faithful, and I'll give opportunity for redemption
mm-hmm.
for those
mm-hmm.
who are not. But the innocent suffer. And indeed,
yeah.
you know, as we deal with this these horrific scandals, the atrocities done to that were foisted on these people, innocent people, children, young people, it's also the atrocity of the cover-up, you know, in order to protect the institution or to protect one's so-called privileged place in the church, or to further one's which is, again, this is
yeah.
all a deviation from the real nature of a priestly consecration. So it's an abuse of power, but it's the whole church has been victimized, not only the church but the world, because we're here for the world. We're a mm-hmm. sacrament here to mediate the grace, to be light in the darkness,
mm-hmm.
and right now we're enveloped in this darkness, and the good far outweighs the bad, there's no doubt about it. But you know, in the how the devil works too, you know, to shroud the good. But anyway, we'll take a break and look at it from put things in perspective from a biblical put things from a biblical perspective in perspective, whatever. We'll take a break, okay? I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Cruise on over to St. Stan's August Fun Fest, Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. Bring your family, bring your friends for great ethnic foods, children's games, prizes, inflatables, music, raffles, and a dump tank. The proceeds will go to benefit St. Stan's Parish and School. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest is easy to find. Just one block north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy Expressway. Join the fun Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon,
will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So, we're trying at least to deal with the, just bringing up today the revelations of the scandals. Again, this is something that just isn't going to go away, and maybe it won't until there's some very serious effort toward reform. Mm-hmm. And so I suggest that, you know, this is a purging, that if the church, if we don't purge ourselves, if we don't bring real reform, authenticate our lives in Christ, then God, because the church is too important for the world's salvation. Jesus is our salvation, but the church is his body. He's the head, and it's through the church that he mediates the grace, you know, so that at least the world has the possibility, the opportunity to respond. Because everybody, at some point or another, everybody's going to hit rock bottom. They're going to be dealt with something in life that's going to awaken them to the question as to who am I, where have I been, where am I, where am I going, what is this all about? And the answer, and I have no doubt in my mind, because it's just so beautiful, and so it was historically a drama that was unfolding that led to the messianic moment in time when God condescends, takes on our flesh, is taken by force, allows himself as such to be the victim, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, atones for our sin, and saves us from our slavery to sin and death. And then he sends his emissaries, his disciples, the apostles. He chooses to live in and through his body, the church. So yesterday, it brings me right to the reading on the Feast of the Assumption. We had that beautiful reading. I think we made some reference to it the other day, but in the book of Revelation, where the heavens open and the Ark of the Covenant appears, and then the woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, the crown of 12 stars. And this is a symbol of the church espoused to the Lord, but also in a singular way, it is the Holy Mother of God, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And she appears with child, pregnant with child. And immediately the reading says that a dragon, the ancient serpent, Satan, I mean, that's those in those three ways, this evil presence is identified. The dragon, the ancient serpent, going back to extrapolating from the book of Genesis, Satan, to be named, waits for her to give birth in order to destroy, devour the child. And he escapes. And all this is in reference to the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. He escapes. In other words, he's out of the... Satan has no power over him. Once Jesus passes through the door of death, Satan has no power over him. And he never really had power, but he thinks he does. So he, and the Lord subjected himself to the evil in the world, taken by force. knowing that we too, you know, because this is the reality of death, we're taken by force, right? And in many, many other ways in life, things we have no control over. But then it said that the Satan went after the woman who had given birth, seeking to destroy her. But she too is taken away in reference to her passing through death into eternal life, sharing in the life of her son, the risen Christ. So Satan has no power over her. Once she passes through this life, he has no power over her, can do nothing. So what does the scripture say? That Satan, the dragon, the ancient serpent, Satan, goes to the shore of the sea and there waits for her children to wage war on her children. And the children are identified in scripture. Who are these children? But those who keep the commandments and give witness to Jesus. It's a powerful image. Combat, a spiritual combat. We're the body of Christ, and it's in the will of Satan to dissuade, divide, and destroy the church, or to keep anybody and everybody away from this mystical body. I suggest that the church, foolishly, not officially, because the teachings are the teachings, scripture is scripture, the catechism is, yeah, I was reading the other day, I'd been reading commentaries and all that, and, you know, the commentaries on commentaries, and there was somebody that said that the Catholic catechism, it has nothing to do with the Bible, it has everything to do with the Bible. It is the most beautiful document. I mean,
isn't it backed up?
Inundated
by
with scripture.
Scripture
and the magisterial teachings, mm-hmm. the lives of the saints. It's so beautifully, mm-hmm. it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But my suggestion is, it's not a suggestion, it's a reality, is that we foolishly, the church foolishly, even as I go back and I think about my years of formation as a priest in the 1970s into the 80s, and quite frankly, a lot of this stuff that's going on dates back to those days, the 60s and the 70s into the 80s, it was a crazy time in society. Everything began to go upside down. A rebellion against authority, against the authority of God. Rebellion against the church. I saw it. I was there. I saw, you know, how the spirit of the world just in a very powerful way infiltrated houses of formation, priestly formation, the formation of religious life, religious sisters, religious brothers. You had the beginnings of the radical feminism and the homosexual gay culture. Homosexuality is one thing, but the embracing a culture, mm-hmm. a lifestyle, mm-hmm. a way of thinking, a way of acting, and to bring that into sacred institutions, you know, and all this being done, not justified by sacred scripture, but using a distorted psychology to legitimize and normalize a way of thinking, a way of behaving that is radically contrary to the gospel, to scripture, and to the teachings of the church. And so during that time, it was, you know, think about it, that was the Jesus Christ Superstar, mm-hmm. What was it, Day by Day, Godspell. The hippie Jesus, the flower, you know, the whole
flower children,
and
hippies.
The beginning of the domestication, mm-hmm. we begin to domesticate mm-hmm. Jesus, domesticate the Virgin Mary. I was saying that yesterday. You know, she's a warrior as well. domesticate the church. Just shake from our lives the hard teachings of Scripture. And it was, you know, God is love and the smiling Jesus, the laughing Jesus, the point is, the reality of spiritual battle, combat, that war has been waged, that the path is a very difficult path, it's a very narrow path, you're going to be hated. As Jesus said, as I was hated, you're going to be hated. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to have to bear or carry the cross. You're going to be at enmity with the world. See, that was in those days, it was, you know, we're going to befriend the world. The Vatican Council said, go out, you know, and rightfully so. We can't live in a ghetto. Our mission is to the world. But what happened was, in a big way, is that people went out to try to befriend the world or to become the world. And we put ourselves under the spirit of the world. And so there was, in those days, I saw it with my own eyes. I saw it, you know, the desecration. I'm not exaggerating this stuff either, you know, but,
no.
And I was just praying about this today and reflecting on this. And I even sent a message to somebody who went through this with me too. And I've thought over the years I think I mentioned the other day, but a mother's plea was just that. It was, it was a plea to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get back into reality and to be true to who we are. And so, you know, in that time, a lot of good people left the seminaries and religious life. A lot left that should have left. But there was this infiltration. So the devil was working, you know, but we have to take responsibility. And it's not unique to what's happened in the church. It was happening in the whole of society,
mm-hmm.
the whole of society. But we were supposed to rise above it. And maybe because we did not, today, you know, because God is the Lord says, I'm patient and merciful, slow to anger. But I say, even to say that is this not time, the time when God intervenes? He's always intervening, but are we responding to purge, to chastise, and that we have to humbly accept this reality that is unfolding? And we've been victimized. I mean, there are those that have been victimized in a very direct way, but we've all been victimized. We're all suffering the consequences of this. And in some ways, you know, not to identify ourselves or everybody with, you know, the horrible atrocities that happen, but aren't we perpetrators of the problem when we don't accept the full counsel of God? When we cave and compromise to the spirit of the world, or we in fact give ourselves over to the reign of the flesh and do not really submit to the spirit of God. Because ours is a disciplined life. It has to be a life of discipline, a life of order in this disordered world we live in, and it has to be a life that is lived solely under the dominion of Christ, not under the dominion of this world, you know? So that the religion becomes just something that I do on Sunday, if I even do it on Sunday, or that I have this notion of God as a God who is a permissive God. He can let me do anything I want. I mean, I'm not addressing perhaps the nature of the evil that was done, because I don't know how to do that. I don't know what was going through these people's minds. Or what constituted their lives, but certainly, obviously, they had lost their sensitivity to who they were in Christ. And again, as you were saying, Tony, and it's true, we're just, you know, this is a bigger issue. Mm-hmm. And so allegations and, you know, some of, I don't know. I can't begin to go into that because I don't know all the ins and outs and the details. But I do know that that we need authenticity. Mm-hmm. We need to understand the nature of the battle. We need to be single-minded in our pursuit of Jesus, and we have to do that together. We need each other because we are weak. We are people with clay feet. We hold the gift in earthen vessels, you know. But yes, so Satan wages war on her children. Either we believe that or we don't. And they say the devil's greatest power comes when we deny his power, mm-hmm. when we deny his existence. Mm-hmm. And indeed, truly, I believe mm-hmm. we've denied that reality, or we've tried to redefine evil and deviations as some kind of a psychological thing mm-hmm. or a societal problem. You know, that's why everything big into social justice, we don't want to address personal sin, personal responsibility, personal obligation that we have as members of the mystical body of Christ. So it just some of my thoughts, but I was thinking about that when we were celebrating the feast mm-hmm. yesterday, and I thought that reading didn't fully go into the it cut off right at the place of battle or the cheat, you know, mm-hmm. but it didn't carry over into the following passage mm-hmm. or pericope, which is part of the whole, and that is that at the escape of the woman when the woman is taken into heaven, Satan has no power over her, so he waits for her children. We talked the other day about, that we were born at the cross, right? Daughter Zion, Mother Israel, the Blessed Virgin Mary, espoused to the Lord, representing the church, that she gives birth to children she never conceived. She suffers the pain of labor and gives birth to children she never... In a moment's time, she suffers the pain of labor, giving birth to children she never conceived, and were born there, the messianic people, through the blood of the cross. And so in the book of Revelation, it's John who writes the Gospel of John, and he writes as well the book of Revelation. And so this the woman who appears, you know, her children, he wages war on her children, the messianic people, those who obey the commandments and give witness to Jesus. We're going to have to come back to this tomorrow because there's this reading today that I didn't get into. We're at the end of the show now, but it's a prophetic, very prophetic reading from the prophet Ezekiel about what to do those who are in this rebellious house, because it's kind of rebellion, no? We rebel against the full counsel of God because we want it easy. We want things to be soft. We want to domesticate Jesus, domesticate the Virgin Mary. I mean, he wasn't crucified, and she wasn't there at the cross, the foot of the cross, because they were just nice people. They were very powerful people. Jesus was God who, as we talked about the other, I mean, in the temple, what did he do? He
cracked the whip.
He cracked the whip, right? And for our salvation, our sanctification. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Have a nice day, beautiful day. We'll be back tomorrow for sure, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Ciao.
Meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed.